Now we begin Masechet Sukkah, which is the first of a number of shorter Masechtas in Seder Moed. There are 5 prokim in Masechet Sukkah. And of course, the focus of the Masechta is the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Only the first 2 prokim discuss the actual mitzvah of Sukkah itself, making and sitting in a Sukkah over Sukkos. The third and first half of the 4th perek discuss the Avraminim, the Lulav Esrog Hadassim and Aravos. And then the last perek and a half, discuss the Nisuch HaMayim, which was a special process which was done on Sukkos, where water was drawn from the Meishloach, the spring of water known as the Shloach spring, which was next to the Beis HaMikdash. They filled up a golden jug with that water, brought it to the Mizbeach, poured it onto the Mizbeach, and there was very great rejoicing over this service. And because of this, there was what was known as Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which was when there would be lots of dancing and a great amount of rejoicing when the Nisuch HaMayim was performed. And then the last few Mishnayos of the Masechta discuss the Karbonos which are brought on Sukkos. So we begin with the Mishnah Aleph, the laws of the Sukkah itself, and the Mishnah tells us that Sukkah shigavur l'malam esim amah, a Sukkah which is taller than 20 amos, meaning the Sukkah itself is more than 20 amos above the ground, Pasula, that Sukkah, that Sukkah is considered invalid. One reason being that the Torah says, Basukkah is teshu shivas yomim, that you will dwell in huts for 7 days. A hut, a Sukkah, is by definition something temporary, something which will last at least 7 days, and it's only made to last 7 days. Now, any structure which is more than 20 amas tall, by definition requires that the walls be made of very strong material, or at least have strong foundations. They have to be made in quite a permanent way. So though if you have, let's say, a 10 amos high sukkah, and it can be made out of bricks, and it could be the most permanent structure in the world, but since the height doesn't require that it be permanent, you could have made it very flimsily with some sort of plastic material, given the height that it is. So in that case, even if you do make it out of bricks, or it's, let's say, an indoor sukkah like many people have nowadays, in that case it is still considered a valid sukkah, because the height does not necessitate a permanent structure. However, if the sukkah is more than 20 amos high, then the only way to make a more than 20 amos high sukkah is to make permanent walls, or walls which are made in a way that it was meant to last for a long time. And so because of that, such a sukkah would be invalid, because it is by definition a permanent structure and not a temporary one. However, Rabbi Huda says that such a sukkah is valid, because Rabbi Huda actually understands the exact opposite of the Tanakhama. According to Rabbi Huda, a sukkah has to be made in a way which is meant to last permanently. The Tanakhama holds that a sukkah is supposed to be a diras arai, a temporary place of living. You're supposed to go out of your permanent living place and live in a more temporary place for a week. However, according to Behuda, the exact opposite is true. You are supposed to set up a diras keva, a permanent place of living, and live there for a week. As because of that, certainly if it is more than 20 amos, it would be valid. Continues the Mishnah, V'she'en gvas or tfachim, if the sukkah is not at least 10 tfachim high, so the schach is within 10 tfachim from the ground, that is an extremely low sukkah, and it is not considered to be valid. It is learnt from psukim that the obligation of living in a sukkah for sukkahs is teishvu ke'en toduru, that you should live in this place for a week, in the same way as you would live in your house during the rest of the year. So if it's extremely difficult to live in this place for a week, such that if it was during the rest of the week of the year, you would probably leave your house because of it, so that is not considered to be a valid sukkah, because it is so difficult to live there and barely considered to be a living place. So such a sukkah is invalid. Also, v'she'en lo shalish tefanos, if the sukkah does not have at least 3 walls, then it is also considered to be invalid. This is learnt from psukim. The Torah says the word sukkos when talking about the mitzvah to sit in sukkos and live in sukkos for the week of sukkos. So the Torah says the word sukkos 3 times, and twice it is spelt without a vav. It is spelt samach kaf tof, and once it's spelt with a vav, sukkos. Now the first time the word is mentioned, of course that is necessary to write the word, in order to teach you what exactly a sukkah is. The word sukkah comes from the word schach, that's the main part of the sukkah, the bit at the top which covers and provides shade. So the first time the pasuk mentions sukkah, that is necessary to teach you about that, about the schach. The remaining 2 words, sukkahs, come to teach us how many walls are necessary for the sukkah. Now sukkah spelt without a vav is as if it was written sukkas, which is the singular for a sukkah. So that is one, it's in the singular. But the last time that it is written sukkos is with a vav, sukkos, which is in the plural, which implies that there are 2. So 1 plus 2 is 3, and that is how we learn that one needs at least 3 wools for the sukkah in order for it to be valid. Now the truth is, the third wool does not actually have to be a full wool, and there are 2 different ways in which it can be made, in which less than a full wool has to be made. The minimum width for each wool is technically 7 tefachim, and that minimum applies to at least 2 of the wools. But when it comes to the third wool, it depends. If the first 2 wools were in a right angle, so they were set up next to each other, not opposite each other, but 2 sides of the sukkah next to each other, in sort of an L shape. This is shown in diagram number 1. And in such a case, the third wool only needs to be slightly more than 1 tefach wide. How so? So we come to the principle known as lavud. Lavud is a halacha Moshe Mesinai. It's a tradition which we have going back to Moshe from our Sinai, that an item which is fixed within 3 tefachim of another item is considered attached to that item, and we view it as if there is not a gap between the 2 items. So in this case, if a piece of wood, let's say, if a beam which is slightly more than a tefach wide is placed within 3 tefachim, sort of at the edge of 3 tefachim of one of the full walls. So there's less than 3 tefachim between the beam and the wall, so it's considered to be totally connected. So that is already viewed as a 4 tefachim wide wall. Slightly less than 3 tefachim, plus slightly more than 1 tefach, that's a 4 tefachim wall already. Now, since 4 tefachim is the majority of 7 tefachim, that is technically enough, and Midoraisa is already considered to be 3 wools and a valid sukkah. However, Midrabanan, one has to add a tsuras ha-pesach, a door frame, for the rest of the width of that side. So if you look on the diagram, you see you've got an L shape of 2 full wools. And then, opposite one of those wools, and next to the other one, you leave a 3 tefachim, a slightly less than 3 tefachim gap, and then you've got a beam which is slightly more than 1 tefach, and then for the remaining 3 tefachim, one needs to put a small horizontal beam at the top, and then a sort of pole or another beam at the edge of those 7 tefachim, or the edge of these 3 tefachim really, in total 7. And as shown on the diagram, you've now got this sort of door frame with a vertical beam and a horizontal beam, which can be as thin as you like. And then with the one with the slightly more than 1 tefach beam, so those all together make a door frame. And the reason why this is required with Rabbanon is so that we literally view this as a full wall. It's a full wall, but with a door in, an entrance to get in and out. So that is one way that the third wall does not have to be a full wall. Another way is if the 2 full walls are not in an L shape, but rather, as shown in diagram number 2 for this Mishnah, the 2 full wools are opposite each other, they're parallel to each other. And then in between them, on one of the sides, there is this third wall. So I would have thought, based on what we've said until now, that I could just put a single beam in the middle, and make this beam slightly more than 1 tefach, 1 tefach wide, and then there would be less than 3 tefachim on either side, and I would view that beam to be attached to either of the other walls, and it would be valid that way. However, the Gemara explains that in this case you can't do that, it's not so simple, because in the previous Mishnah, the 2 full walls were already connected to each other. So it's already considered to be part of, sort of the beginning of a real building, of a real sukkah. They're already connected. So in that case, you can start using lavud, and it will be a valid sukkah. However, in this case, the 2 full wools, without the third wool, have no connection with each other. They're just 2 wools which are sort of opposite each other. They're not part of a building or anything. They're not part of the same sukkah. So it follows that the function of the third wall is not only to serve as a third wall, but also to connect the 2 other full walls. And in order to connect the 2 other full walls, lavud is not enough. Rather, the actual wall has to be wider. Now, it still does not have to be the full 7 tefachim wide. Rather, it has to be at least 4 tefachim, or slightly more than 4 tefachim, such that there would be less than 3 tefachim gap to one of the walls. So you would use lavud as well to, let's say, one of the walls. And then, since the third wall itself is considered significant, it would connect the other 2 walls, and you would now have a sukkah of 3 walls. Now, even if the third wall in this second case does not reach all the way to the other, to one of the walls, it's still valid, because you've got 4 tefachim of the actual wall, or just over 4 tefachim, plus just under 3 tefachim of the lavud area, that's already 7 tefachim, in which case it's already considered a full third wall. So you've already got 3 walls. Midrabanan, Also, in this case, you would need to add a Tzuras HaPesach, a sort of door frame. So again, a horizontal pole or a horizontal beam reaching to the other wall. And again, this is shown in diagram number 2 for this Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah says, V'she'en al-shalosh tefonos, if the sukkah does not have at least 3 walls, in one of the ways we just described, then it would be an invalid sukkah. Or, if the amount of sun coming through into the sukkah is more than the amount of shade, so the sukkah does not cover the majority of the roof of the sukkah, the sukkah is the main part of the sukkah, hence the name sukkah, which comes from the word sukkah. So if the majority of the top of the sukkah is not covered by the sukkah, then it is also considered pesula, an invalid sukkah. The second half of this Mishnah discusses sukkah yishona, which literally means an old sukkah, and we're referring to a sukkah which was made not for the sake of the sukkah of the mitzvah. Now, when it comes to the walls of a sukkah, they do not need to be built for the sake of a sukkah. In fact, nowadays, many people have indoor sukkahs where the walls were not made for the sake of the sukkah. The walls were made for the sake of the house. However, the sukkah of the sukkah, that does need to be placed down for the sake of the mitzvah of sukkahs, for the sake of making a sukkah of the mitzvah. So a sukkah yishona, an old sukkah, refers to a sukkah where the sukkah was placed there for shade, and not for the sake of creating a sukkah for the mitzvah of sukkahs. So such a sukkah, such sukkah, b'shamay poslim, b'shamay say is invalid, but we saw machshirin, b'shamay say it's valid, even if the sukkah was originally placed there for regular shade, and not for the sake of a sukkah. There is a sukkah yishona, what is considered to be a sukkah, where we assume that the sukkah was not placed for the sake of the sukkah, but rather for regular shade. Kol she'asor kodem l'chog shloshim yoyim, any sukkah which was placed there more than 30 days before sukkahs, unless he explicitly had the intention and said that he was doing it for the sake of sukkahs, otherwise we assume that it was for the sake of regular shade, and so a contribution would be invalid. On the other hand, if he did it within 30 days before sukkahs, even if he didn't explicitly say that he is doing it for the sake of the mitzvah, since 30 days before Yom Tov, one is supposed to start learning about the laws of the Yom Tov, one is already involved in the preparations for the Yom Tov, so we assume, even if he did not explicitly have that intention, we assume that he did it for the sake of the sukkah of the mitzvah. Aval im asor l'shem chag, but if he put the sukkah there and said explicitly that he is doing it for the sake of the sukkah of sukkahs, then afilu mitchilas hashana, even if from the beginning of the year, even if it was more than 30 days before sukkahs, kasheiro, it is nevertheless valid, since it was placed there for the sake of the sukkah of the mitzvah of sukkahs.